You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moxie and Joe. Well, the party gonna have out in the St. John's swamps. Sasquatch doing his brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, a little under the weather, Marco, but that doesn't hold me back, nor does it hold you back. You know, I was sitting here while you were trying to work those dials and get us tuned in, and I was going back 30 years ago. 30 years ago on our album, there was a song there that I wanted to play for everybody. I hope I can get this going. Let's see if I can. Here we go. Listen to the words, everybody.
You don't know the powers that are going
What do you think of those words, ladies and gentlemen? Were you listening? He walked this earth from the dawn of time. He considers this land his own and mine. I'll tell you what. 30 years ago, these words were written down for one of our movies. This album never ceased to amaze me. I call them albums today. They call them CDs. I got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't have this in your collection, you need to get it. Every one of these songs have a meaning. It was a meaning when we were on expedition 30 years ago. You know, when I look back and I say to myself, 30 years ago, wow. You know, it's more than a quarter of a century. It's almost one-third of one. And I think about what's transpired since then. We've come a long way, haven't we? A long, long way. Marco, I know you have a copy of that. Have you ever just stopped to listen to it while you were in your car driving?
I listened to the album, Tom.
It's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Sure is.
The words, and by the way, Rambling Jack Marbury is no longer with us. God rest his soul, but it took him 5 days. He lived up there in the mountains with Ivan and I, and he composed 11 songs all about Bigfoot and us. I'm telling you, if you don't have one, want a copy of this, you need it in your collection. Well, I'll tell you, Marco, it's been an exciting time. Gosh, it just between the weather, I told everybody, you know, it's we're going to have one hellacious cold weather coming up this year. This winter is going to be a cold one. And who would have ever thunk it? The nor'easter hit, and my God, snow all over the place. 6 million people in the Northeast without electricity. It's kind of a pleasure when it first comes, but then it's a pain in the ass when it keeps on coming and don't give anybody a break. When you get that cabin fever, ladies and gentlemen, you'll know what I'm talking about. I want to do some shout-outs. You don't mind, do you, Marco?
No, I don't, and I just like to give you a little input there just before the show. Chuck sent me an email. Chuck Creel sent me an email, and he said his daddy's doing much. Wanted to thank everybody for all the prayers that they... He knows that's the reason, and he said thanks for all the prayers.
You know, and he's on the list, okay? His daddy, Don, he's back out of the hospital. He beat the cancer scare and all the treatment, and he's feeling great, and he thanks each and every one of you guys out there and around the globe. And I want to say hi out there to Robbie Conway. Thanks for the kind words, Robbie, and your interest in, that you've taken with us. And Walter from Boston, I want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts as you wrote to us to talk to Marco, Bill, and myself and the team, that you felt that everything that we do is mimicked by all these other TV shows and radio shows out there, that none of them can be original. Thank you for those kind words, Walter. Nikki Artali, Las Vegas, says you got to enter your films in Las Vegas, and you know, she says she knows that we're going to win, just like we did there in the Pocono Mountains. Well, Nikki, we're going to do that for you. Tricia Durkin thinks I'm cute and sexy. Well, there. Well, Tricia Durkin, thank you so much. Have no idea who you are, but I got your email, and I thought that was very kind of you. Dr. Michael Jenkins. He thinks he's got a way to capture one of these Bigfoot. He wants to meet up with me and my guys and go over it and see what we could do. Door is always open, Michael, and love to hear from you. Taryn Morgan across the pond from the BBC sends their best and says that the film that they took when they shot out with us out on expedition for 9 days or whatever the hell it was, says it was brilliant, great stuff. Don Labriola from Illinois sends his congrats on winning at the Pocono and says, hey, man, we're behind you over here in Illinois, and thank you. I know that you are, Don. You're a great guy. Jennifer Smuda, S-M-U-D-A, Minnesota. Thank you for the order, Jennifer. You know, I've been getting these orders lately. It's been going crazy because nobody can get these camo hats, and it says "Searching for Bigfoot" on it. And my gosh, everybody just loves it because it's a topic of conversation. You wear your hat no matter where you go. Get a jar of milk or a container of milk and go into a bar and have a drink, or go into a store or a gas station. Everybody asks, well, where'd you get that hat? The great piece that we've had here. And Don F. wants to know, whatever happened to the suit that was in the Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax? Well, I'll tell you what, Don F., what you need to do is that movie, Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. And that one, Pocono Mountains Film Festival, tied along with Bigfoot Lives 2. The history of 9 years, they've never had a tie like that. And we did it. Need to get both of those movies if you don't have those in your collection too, ladies and gentlemen. Bigfoot Lives 2 and the Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. And Chiho Fuji wants to license some of our footage for future Japanese feature movies. Chiho, no problem. I'm under the weather right now, not feeling too good, and I don't think I can be too coherent, but try me out anyway. Give me a call back, and let's see what we can do. Well, Marco, I got to tell you, we've got an interesting show here tonight. I mean, you just keeping on, brother. Now, are Jason and Thomas on, or did they get...
No, back? Jason and Thomas didn't make it, but we do have Karen. We got both Ken and Jim Dawson.
Okay,
from Arkansas.
I'll stay up with you because you're too slick for me at times. All right, so we got Jason and Thomas, and maybe we'll get them on next week. I don't know, but we'll see what happens. Without any further ado, let's get out there to Arkansas. But before we do, I want to give you a little priming of the pump here, ladies and gentlemen. We're out there with Jim Dawson, as you know, okay? And Jimmy has been one hellacious contributor to our organization. And he's been on some expeditions with me around the country, and we finally got to get into his area. And when we were leaving him, we stopped to get some supplies in Walmart there, that Arkansas small town. There's this woman, she waited, she saw us, and she wanted to tell us about her experience. Well, she's with him tonight, too. It's Karen and Jim Dawson. We both got you guys. You there?
Yes.
Hello, Tom.
Hello, Jimmy. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you? Hello, Marco Bill.
Hello, Jim. Is Karen there?
Yeah, Karen's
yes.
Right here. He just got that overbearing radio voice. You know, you should be in radio. Jimmy, I got to tell you, you got a wonderful, wonderful voice. Karen, are you there, sweetheart?
Yes, Tom, I'm here.
Oh, that's wonderful. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, she has had six, count them, six encounters since July near her property. People are lucky to get one in their lifetime, but there is a definite migrational route and possibility of a habitat down there where they may be living, which we're checking out as we talk through Jimmy ourselves. Jimmy, why don't you set the stage and let's just have her come in and just merge with us.
Okay, great, great. I met with Karen this week, and she is such a nice lady. She has a beautiful family, and they actually live in a family community way out in the wilderness, Tom. They're 10 miles down a gravel road, and she has several family members all in a community. And I would say, Karen, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but they own 500, 600, 700 acres combined between aunts and uncles, mom and dad, so on and so forth, all in an area, and they farm and they ranch. Karen's had six encounters, four actual sightings, one July 7th, another July the 22nd, another August 16th, and then yet another sighting on September 17th. Most recently, on October the 20th, Karen had a circumstance where she and her daughter were on a gravel road. They noticed a ring of rocks or a rock anomaly. They got out of their cars to take a look and had a bunch of tree snaps, breaks around them, then something started throwing rocks at them. And then on October 21st, on Friday, about 11 p.m., Karen also noticed that there were heavy footsteps around her house. heavy scents of a terrible odor, and they've had creatures looking through windows in their family area, both at her daughter's house and at her house. They've just had a lot of stuff going on. They've also had a lot of vocalizations in their areas at night. They can hear whoops and howls. I played some sounds for Karen from various websites. She's heard whoops. She's heard howls. It's just an incredible story. I also today spoke with a game warden, an Arkansas Game and Fish Commission officer, who told me that Arkansas's current standpoint on Bigfoot is that they do not exist, but he said, Jim, if they do exist, they do certainly exist in the area that Karen lives in. So from there, Karen, please start with the first sighting and tell us what's going on.
Well, I was coming home from town, and I turn off my radio, and I just kind of listen, pray, sing some songs of my own, and it was in July, and I was about a mile and a half from the house, and I had my windows up because it was air conditioner. I had it on, and I come around the corner, and when I do, I see this dark, long, hairy back. I can't see no arm, and it is going through between a tree and a cedar tree. So I speed up to see, because naturally when you see the deer, you can see the deer and the turkeys. And normally, you know, I know what a bear is because we've seen the bears, and we do have cats out here, big ones. So I sped up. When I got in there, it wasn't there. But I'm still in shock trying to figure out what this is that I did see. So I come home, and I had some groceries, and husband helped me get them in, and he said, "What's wrong with you?" And I said, "I seen something." And he said, "What do you mean you seen something?" I said, "You're coming home." And I said, "I don't know what it is. I'm not sure." I said, "I know what I want to say it is, but I'm not sure because I've never seen anything like this before." Well, when I described it to him, and he laughed me off. And I thought, well, I shouldn't have said a word. I should have just left it alone. Well, I had to go back out again. Town by myself. Normally, I don't go by myself. I was coming back in, and almost an identical spot again, there was again. It was going in between those trees and pushing the cedar away, but I could not see nothing but the back. And it was not down low, it was up high. And me knowing, and I said something to my mother, which, bless her heart, she says, "Oh, it's probably some man in a furry coat," because I said, "Mom," she said, "What's it look like?" I said, "Mom, it looks just like, it reminds me," I said, "back in the Western movies where they had the buffalo skins and the guys would make coats out of them." I said, "The hair was long." And she said, it's probably a man wearing a coat." I said, "Mom, in July?" So, you know, I went on, and everybody, I mentioned it to my daughter, and I mentioned it to my daughter-in-law and them, and my son, and everybody was kind of just like, "Mom, you don't know what you're saying, just leave it alone. Don't say a word." And they was more or less telling me that You didn't see what you saw. And then I had the third sighting. And I'm thinking, God's trying to show me something. And I said, Lord, please, let somebody be with me. Or let somebody else see this. Because everybody thinks I'm crazy. And, I mean, you begin to wonder if somebody's messing with you, you know, because it's like, I've never seen anything like this before. And I was shocked. And I took my daughter out and my granddaughter and her vehicle. A woman, her friend had borrowed it and to drive out to work. So I drove her out and we ate, and me and the granddaughter came back. And on the last 3 miles, I let her steer the vehicle. Well, we were driving real slow, and she was talking. She said, of course, she calls me Granny, and she said, Granny, where'd you see him at? She was asking me, and I said, it's just right on down here a ways where I seen that. It was about 6 o'clock afternoon then, and I want you to know, she just froze, because I froze too. I slammed on the brakes because my vehicle automatically, the lights are set up that they automatically come on.
When it gets dark.
Yes. No. I put mine on where it does it all the, it, when you start the vehicle, the lights are on.
Oh, good. Okay.
Okay.
Right.
So, it's a section where everybody calls it a pink car area. There's no fence. You'll find a gate occasionally, but you won't find no fence up down in that section. But anyhow, there's some big trees with no limbs. And we was coming up on them, and it stepped away from the tree, out from behind it. And I guess we were both in shock. Me and her both were, because I realized that I had stopped the vehicle. And I was trying to grab my phone to see if I even had any service or juice left in it where I could snap a picture. But I couldn't. By the time I looked back up, and my granddaughter, she dove on the back into her seat, and I looked back up, and he was in the process. When I looked at him, he was taking, or she was taking one step, one stride. And I mean, no further than me reaching down and looking back up, he was gone. And Carly looked at me, and I looked at her, and I said, did you see what I seen? And she said, yes, Granny, I did. And she said, first thing she said was, drive, Granny, drive. Let's go home. She got scared. Eyes the tree today, and he had to be pretty tall from where I didn't walk up to it, but I know where he was going uphill away from that big tree. And like we've had little incidents that I told Jim about, and we did not get out of the car, Jim. You must have misunderstood me. Me and Erica, my daughter-in-law, we come back in there, and we were out town. And we came back in that same way. And when we did, I told Erica, I said, this is about where, I mean, I I had that feeling that they're hanging around in this area. Because I, you know, this is about, it just seems like every time I come in and I put the window, if I do put the windows down and I'm driving slow, you know, I just, you have that feeling like something's watching you. Well, me and her slowed down and we've seen the circle of rocks that I've lived here 21 years and I've never seen it. Never in my life had I seen that. And it was on the left-hand side. So me and her were sitting there and talking about it, and the baby, it was my other grandbaby, she was squealing and laughing, being funny, and me and my daughter-in-law was coming on home, that we were just kind of going, I had the brakes on, just easing, and she said, stop, look there, and I stopped, and there was a couple of more rocks, and she was looking at them, and all of a sudden, we heard limbs breaking off to the right side on her side, and then all of a sudden, something hit right directly at the end, right where my vehicle was, and we knew it was a rock. You could hear it when it hit. And I took off. She screamed. The baby screamed. I screamed. We all run. And I didn't want to say a word to Jim until after he got opened up and he told me a little bit more. I thought he was just being a little bit silly, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Karen, let me interject a little bit here if I can. As you know, I'm very courteous, and I've been letting you talk and tell the stories to all of our people out around the globe. You sound like a very sincere woman. At any time, did you ever see this thing's face?
No, I didn't get to see its face.
Okay.
I got to see the side profile.
Okay, the profile. All right. Now, said that it took a big step going across the road.
Very big step.
Okay.
I was in the driving in the road. It was off the road, but I'm looking at it today, again from that tree. My daddy was tall. He had long legs. There's no way my daddy could have stepped that far from where he stepped.
Okay, now let me ask you something else.
I don't know.
Karen, was it always the same creature, or was it something different each time?
It was the same creature. I have a feeling that one that I seen the first time was shorter. Because it seemed like it, unless I was not seeing it right, it just, to me, the first one that I seen, did not see to me, but of course I wasn't seeing it whole.
Right. So let me ask you this. Did you ever go home and tell your husband or your family and besides?
Oh, yeah.
And did they think you were crazy or what?
My husband said I'd have to take a picture of it or drag one up here for him to believe it. So I ain't really been popular in the family right now.
Sure. You know what? Look at this, Karen, okay? What you got to experience, not many people in the world do, all right? You've been picked. You've been chosen, okay? And the only thing I can tell you is this, is that we're there for you. Thank God you've got Jimmy right around the corner. Not 6 miles, Jimmy, is it? How far is it?
Well, we're a little bit further than that, but she's certainly around the corner.
Okay, all right. So, you know, you've got instantaneous relief if you can't get a hold of us because he's right there, and he does have a good ear and a good shoulder to cry on. That's for damn.
Oh, he knows because I've called him a couple of times already.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've got something planned for you and your land and Jimmy, and I'm sure after the show or maybe tomorrow he'll be telling you all about it.
Okay.
He may be coming out there for 2 to 3 weeks and just camping out. And Jimmy has made us an offer that we can't refuse, and he's one of the greatest hosts in the world, as you probably know. But I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, Karen, and for sharing with our listeners out there about your experience. And please keep us up to date each and every time you get closer to this thing or you have an encounter. And just mute yourself out, because we got plenty of more show. And this next person coming up, you may like to hear her all the way through. She's When she first emailed me, she kind of tugged at my heart, and you're going to be hearing all about it in just about 60 seconds. God bless you, Karen. We'll look forward
God
to
bless.
See you real soon. And Jimmy, thank you as usual.
You bet. Have a great evening.
Thank you, my brother. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Jim Dawson and Karen out there in Arkansas. They've got something going on out there, without a doubt. I kind of gave you a little snippet about our next guest. She's down there in Florida. Her daddy was up in the Cascades. And on his deathbed, he told his daughter, "Promise me that you'll finish my book." And about all of his Bigfoot encounters up there in the Cascades with the creature. "Promise me that you'll finish it and get it published." Well, my golly, she did. And I'm so proud of her. Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's get out there to Laura Bell out in Florida. Laura, you out there?
I am. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you for joining us. I know there's a three-hour difference. I hope I'm not keeping you from your beddy time. But
No problem.
Good to have
thank you for having me on your show.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this, Laura. Your story just hit home. I got to tell you that. And not many of them really hit home with me, but it wrenched at my heart, okay?
Mm.
And I give you a lot of praise, young lady. You are one in a million. Why don't you tell everything, all my listeners, you're welcome. Tell all my listeners around the globe exactly how it all started with you and Daddy and how it all finished up and where you're at today. Would you be kind enough to tell them?
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. Well, basically, I was growing up as a little girl. My father, he lived in the North Cascade Mountains, and I lived in the city. And my father, he would tell his Bigfoot stories, and I was a little embarrassed. My girlfriends were around, and I was like, oh, gosh, my dad's telling another Bigfoot story, you know? And, you know, I always thought that, you know, there could be something out there. And I believed my dad. And it wasn't up until after my father lost his battle to cancer that I just wanted to be close to my dad. And so I asked my brother if he would take me to the places where my father was tracking Bigfoot and places where he would never let his girl go. For my safety, and so we drove up to the North Cascade Mountains, and we came up to this closed road, and it used to be an old log road. So my brother and I, we walked back on this old logging road, and it was a dense, deep forest, and on the left is a hillside, and the trees just go on for as far as you can see. And there's a cliff on the right, and we continue to walk, and I'm taking photos. And that's a knack of mine. I love to take photos, and my brother said, you never know if it's lurking around a tree somewhere, so you know, I'll look back on your photos later. And I saw on the hillside on the left was footprint tracks up this hill. So there's just, to me, there's no way that a man could go up the hill and make those prints and that far apart on this hill. Well, now I tried going up this hill and I had to walk sideways and there's just no way. And it was about, I don't know, about 5 feet apart, the prints were. So we continue to go further in the forest, and I saw some movement up ahead. It was dark and low to the ground, and I thought, oh, bear, it's summertime, and I'm scared. I'm timid going into the woods without my dad and with my brother for the first time and not my dad. And so I turn around and hurry, not run or anything. I know not to make myself a prey. And so we hurry back to the car, and it's about 3 mile walk. And so I thought, well, I don't want our tracking Bigfoot to end for the day, so is there another area we can go to that's close by? I was asking my brother. And so he drove me to this other spot. My brother had the map, and he had read the book. I didn't want to read the book because I just wanted to wait so I wouldn't be scared going into the forest. And so my brother, he knew the areas. And we went to another spot that we were able to drive to. And we get out of the car on a gravel road, and there's dense wooded forest on the left and the right side. And I turn around and start walking towards the back of the car. And I'm walking down the road, and I hear this knock-knock sound. And I turn around, and I smile and look at my brother and whisper, oh, my God. I was like, oh, my God. I couldn't believe it. You know, my dad knew there. He really knew. It was like, and so I turn around, and I start walking towards again, and I heard the knock-knock sound again. And my brother and I were both walking towards, and this is an area where my dad knew of again, and it was by the river. And we didn't know where this end was located, but we wanted to find it, and that's why we were at the spot. And then we heard the boom-boom sounds, these deep boom-boom sounds. And so we're walking closer, and my brother said, well, we better start walking back to the car. We're both a little scared and shaken up by the whole experience. And we walk back to the car, and we're standing next to the car side by side and looking in the deep forest. And my brother starts pounding on the top of the hood of the car to make the boom boom sounds, and it answers back. It's just amazing. This experience was just so exhilarating. And then we heard this deep growl. And my brother said, Lori, was that your stomach? And I said, no. And I pushed it out of the way. And I jumped in the car. And I sat in the passenger seat backwards. And I'm sitting on my knees. And I'm holding the camera. I'm shaking. I'm thinking any moment now it's going to jump out and attack the car. I don't know. I'm just scared at this moment. My brother's pounding on the hood of the car. It's answering back, and it's sounding more angry. And the growls, and my brother finally steps in. He's like, okay, I think I irritated it enough for the day, so we leave. And we came back this weekend, and we got it on video of it answering back and forth, and it's addicting. I have to say that now I continue to go back out in the woods, and even though I'm living in Florida, I still will go hiking in the North Cascade Mountains and the same areas that my father was tracking Bigfoot. And what I'm doing, my next project, is I'm taking my dad's audio and the audio that my brother has, and I'm trying to put that together for the public to experience. So not just the book, but that also.
Let me ask you this,
so,
if I may.
Yeah.
Lori, did you, Daddy get any pictures or anything like that?
Did my dad get pictures?
Yeah.
Well, We didn't get photos of it, but when he was close to the den, and he describes in the book that he was next to the den with this irate anthropod throwing a tantrum inside the den as it jarred the ground, and my dad was just sitting there by the den quietly, and he would always bring apples to let it know that he meant no harm and to build, you know, its trust. And he did see something inside and took some photos, but it's really hard to see. And I took a photo, which I think there's something in there, but no one really sees what I'm seeing.
Well, what'd you see? Tell us.
What?
Share what you saw.
Oh, what did I see? Well, I think it's a face of an animal that has a very large head, and I can even make out where the nose is. And I put this photo actually on the website, but no one can really see what I'm seeing. But it seems like it's a light colored, but then where the head is, it's large and it's dark. Kind of peeking out.
Are you looking at it as you're talking, dear?
No, I'm not looking at it, but I know what it looked like.
I have a feeling that as you're talking to me, you're reflecting back on the experience that you had. Is that how it's going with you right now?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool. That's great. Well, let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
How many years does that book comprise, over what span of time?
2 years.
2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So your dad got enthralled with all that in the two-year period, right?
2 years of, yeah, 2 years of documenting.
Okay, all right. And that's what's, how many chapters are there in the book?
Oh, goodness.
Did I lose you, dear?
I'm not sure exactly how many chapters.
Okay, all right. Well, how can people get this book?
On Amazon.com. It's on Kindle. And hopefully by tomorrow it will be available as a printable book on Amazon as well.
Oh, how wonderful. Well,
yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you, I read the e-copy on the he was kind enough to send it over to me. I got through the first 20 pages, and then I got enthralled with everything that I'm doing, and I haven't had a chance to go back, and I'm sure tonight I'm going to do that. But, Lori, I'm behind you 150%, and if there's anything that we or anybody at SFBI can do to help you to get the word out, we're here for you, dear.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for taking the time to come out and share a little bit that you did with our audience around the globe, okay?
Absolutely.
We got some more information coming out, another guy's coming on before we close our show. So just mute yourself out. We're going to go to commercial real quick, and we'll be talking real soon, okay, dear?
Okay, sounds great.
Thank you, Lori. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Lori from Florida. She's just a heart-wrenching situation, how on the deathbed her daddy said she please get his chronological study of Bigfoot for 2 years that he was out in the woods, what he experienced, and she did it. She promised, and she came through. Kudos to that young lady. Bill, let's go to a commercial.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that play out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back, Tom.
Yeah, thank you, Marco. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our other award-winning movie at the Pocono Mountains Film Festival. Just last month, on the 22nd of October, it tied, along with Bigfoot Lives 2, unheard of, for the first time ever. You need to see it. Like, just like one of those people's emails to me was, well, what was in the suit? What kind of animals? Go out and buy the movie. You get it on our website and get it on Amazon.com. You'll see. I think you go on Netflix, the whole nine yards. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. I've been under the weather here for now about a week, and it's really getting to me. But hopefully everything will be just fine. Now we're going to go out to another guy that he's been a long-time listener. He's been on our show in the past. It's Bill from Missouri, and he's had quite a few sounds and vocalizations that he's collected over the time, and he's got some comments. By the way, Bill, did we get the results back from the biologist?
Nope. I'm getting it. I should be getting it soon. I'm trying to unmute Bill, and I'm having a problem.
I'm going to play.
Oh, somebody's got something on.
How are we coming? Did we unmute
Bill?
Him?
He's in his desk, but I got to get him. Bill, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey.
Okay, go ahead, Bill.
How are you, good buddy?
Hey, I'm doing great.
Well, listen, we were listening to the full version of a Bigfoot Boogie. I wonder if all the listeners out there, can you do a line dance to that, you think, Bill? What do you think?
Are you asking?
I'm asking you.
Okay. I think that you have a problem there. I could hear everything you were saying.
No, I'm talking about the song. Can you do a line dance with that song?
Oh. Oh, I doubt if I could.
I mean, people in general, Bill. You think it's got that kind of beat, buddy?
I don't know.
Oh, let's stick on. All right, forget about I even asked. Let's stick on talking about Bigfoot. What's happening down in your neck of the woods, son?
Well, I'll tell you what. There's been a lot happened here, but I was interested in Karen there, her story, and I just wondered what her personal appearance was. Does she have long hair and bright eyes? And because there seems to be a character to the way the women look and things they also do that attracts them, I think. Don't you?
Well, I don't know. She's in a car, Bill, and it's pretty damn.
Yeah.
I have a hard time seeing a person across the street or you know, or 20 feet.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but it's close to her home, and I think they decide who when
who they want to see and who they don't, where they
when they want to have the encounter. Don't you think?
Well, I think you're right, and more so than that, as I'm thinking about it, looking on the map here, Bill. Because
yes.
But Jim, you guys, what, about 70 miles away from each other?
That's correct. You're
Guess
absolutely
what?
Right.
And this woman is halfway to you and halfway to him. It
yeah.
might not be a bad time that, you know, a bad idea that you guys get together and go researching right there in between, because I'll tell
yeah.
you what, you just may be coming up on something.
Yes, yes. Yes, I think they're between him and I. See, when I've had my encounters down toward him, south of where I live.
Yeah, but
for
I
sure.
don't know if she found out through this gal. She found a lot of caves and old mining, abandoned mining places down there. So these things could be held up over there. And now that Jimmy's there with you, and if she can direct you in that direction, and all I need the word is, hey, we've got it, you know I'll be there within 24 hours.
Oh, yeah, you bet. I'm for it.
Well, that's good. I think after the show, maybe you and Jimmy should get together on the horn and mosey on out there, and as long as Karen says it's okay. And the next thing you know, boom, maybe we'll be having our next show will be that we've captured one out there. Thanks.
You bet.
Yeah.
Maybe a handful of hair.
Or something. You know?
Something, yes.
What the hell?
We'd have something. I guarantee you it'd be something.
Yeah, right now is the time of year where these things are moving. They move straight up. Well, they hibernate anyway, up until around the 20th of December. Unless they're held up in a place down there, and you know they need to forage for food, and they'll be out there if they found, you know, a serenity, a place that they're habitating.
How long do you think they stay in one area?
Well, I think that if it's not a female harboring its young, it's an older, you know, genre of beast that can't travel as fast and as far as they did in the past. And when they find an area that's serene and they feel not harmed, they stay there forever until their dying day. That's my own opinion, though, of course, but I'm pretty damn sure. But I'll tell you what, after hearing what Jimmy's, you know, due diligence has been with her and what's going on in his area, especially now, I think it would be worth your while to mosey on down and you guys reconnoiter together, and before you know it, I think we'd have something going. And you know what? I'm sorry. Blame it on me. We had another crash here on our thing, but it's 8 o'clock, and we've got to get off the show. Thanks
that's
for being
fine.
With us. We'll
that's
have you back next week.
That's
as
not
our,
a problem.
Okay, buddy?
You bet.
God bless you, and thanks for being with us.
Hey,
kudos.
We'll see you.
Salutations. Till next time, America. And there's old Miss Calabash, a good old gooden, wherever you are, darling.
Bye. Ivan was no bear tracker. Tom was a man with dreams.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is Marco Bill, and that's the Bigfoot Live radio show for this week. All of us on the Bigfoot Live Network would like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests for joining us tonight for an exciting evening of talk show entertainment where you, the listeners, become a part of our on-the-air adventure. And we'd also like to thank you, our listeners, for sharing our adventure with us. Join us again next Wednesday evening for another exciting hour of the Bigfoot Live radio show with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. Until then, this is Marco Bill saying good night, and be good, be safe, and be here next week. See you then.
Reason for the